there are three narrative tricks that the white nationalist movement, Christian nationalists, but Trumpism has played on the American public. And we should reject these fables that they have pitched to us as narratives. So the first narrative is an anti-Semitic one, and it has appeared around titles called the Great Replacement Theory, right? The idea that immigrants are secretly invading the country under these global elite, which means Jews, by the way. And so we have to fight this great battle against good and evil. That's the Great Replacement Theory. There's QAnon, right? The idea that there's a global elite, e.g. Jews, right, who are secretly at work in order to destroy what? The gene pool. It's a blood libel, right, through the sexual exploitation of white children, right? It's the white slave trade, anti-Semitic trope. That's the second narrative, grounded in anti-Semitism. And then the third narrative, grounded in anti-Semitism, is this idea that non-Jews don't have to learn about anti-Semitism. And then when we stumble into it, it gets used to wedge the civil rights community against itself. Those are the three ways that that anti-Semitic narrative. So look, the first thing we have to do if we're serious about this moment is we have to understand this narrative of anti-Semitism and the way that it drives and fuels much of the aspirations and vision of this anti-democracy movement called white nationalism. So we have to get better on anti-Semitism, which means we have to stop pretending like we understand what anti-Semitism is and spend a little time learning it. You can't counter a narrative that you don't understand. And that narrative, we had another hour, right? We could unpack the impact of that narrative, but it has taken lives. It has shifted policies and has allowed the white nationalist movement to keep itself central to that Trumpism MAGA coalition.
Yeah. When you think about Charlottesville, the people wielding torches and saying Jews will not replace us, that's not an accidental chant to be wielding while carrying, you know, some sort of tiki candle or whatever. That is directly fueling what many people understood exactly what they were saying. For others of us, it was like, what are they saying? But the white nationalist community knew exactly what they were saying. And then for Trump to say good people on all sides is to basically, again, normalize this in a way that allows it to become all of a sudden now part of what is considered appropriate protest or appropriate for our country dialogue, when in fact, it's actually, you know, a frontal attack on a segment of our population that has, you know, endured already horrific things. And so I just want to, again, like what you're saying is there's actions that you can point to. These are not ideas. These are practices in some ways. And you're like,
they are practices. And it's essential. Like when you think about it, you're exactly right. We have to understand that at the end of the day, right, the white nationalist movement is telling a story and it's trying to convince the American public of a story. It doesn't care whether that story is true or not. Right. It's, does it help them build base and does it help them build power? Mm. And whether it's true or not doesn't even matter to that movement. And that's
let me just say that this idea of truth is like really interesting. We had Jeff Charlotte on our show, and I don't know if you've had a chance to look at his book, The Undertow.
Yes.
He has this really interesting, like kind of terrifying way of talking about the QAnon movement that has infused itself completely with the right Christian church, unfortunately, much to the exasperation and dismay of conservative pastors who are like, oh my God, what is happening? But he describes it as Gnosticism, a kind of a terrible Gnosticism where facts don't matter, truth doesn't matter. Rather, what matters is, do you have eyes to see? Do you have ears to hear? And if you know, then you know. If you know that Hillary Clinton has been assassinated, that Donald Trump is president, and that there's a international pedophilia ring that Hillary Clinton has run for years. I mean, like these crazy ideas. Right. If you know, you know. And if you don't know, you don't know. It doesn't matter about facts. It's the most terrifying. All I'm doing is responding and saying, oh, my God, yes, exactly what you're saying is right.
And let's not forget, it's not just a story. It's a story that brings about outcomes. So we forget, right? Last September, the shooting of Igor Lanitz, who killed his wife and injured his daughter, right? Or the 2018 9-day standoff in Tucson, Arizona at the cement plants, or the individual who killed his wife because he thought she had passed on serpent DNA to his kids. The list goes on, right? There have been at least, I believe, 9 kidnapping incidences, right, related to QAnon. But unless we do our work around understanding anti-Semitism, we don't understand these narratives, these conspiracies, when they get thrown out. So understanding anti-Semitism inoculates us. But there's 2 other narratives that I think are important that we take on. The second is this idea that we're here because we're losing, right? The biggest myth the white nationalist movement and Christian nationalists want us to believe is that we're losing. But the truth is, we're not here because we're losing. We're here because the civil rights movement was actually victorious. It made the case that we should live in a multiracial nation grounded in democracy and equality. And here's the kicker. More Americans today, including white Americans, by percentage, are supportive of that vision than at any time in American history. For instance, more white Americans today, by percentage, not whole numbers, so, you know, I'm not trying to trip people up, by percentage, are supportive of Black Lives Matters today than were supportive of Martin Luther King Jr. in his lifetime. Consistently, about 40% of white America, through different issues on surveys, indicate that they too aspire to live in this inclusive multiracial democracy. The truth is, the white nationalist movement, Christian nationalists, are attempting to usurp democracy, right? Attempting to drive wedges between communities because they actually know that their time is short. This is not about white genocide.
Everybody take a moment. Take a moment. Let's take that in. And I had a chance to talk to Rabbi Sandra Lawson, who's a marvelous woman, a woman of color, lesbian rabbi. I was like, you know, living at the intersection of all these, she was like, this must be terrible for you. Like, what gives you hope? And she said, you know what, Paul? We've already won. We just need to finish the job. She might have put it differently than you, but she was like, we're not losing. We're winning if we can recognize what we're doing as actually the will of an American people. I think this is really important because we have a sense of fear driving us rather than conviction about the future.
That's right.